Flight to Terror by Christine Barclay. Copyright Burlington Books, 2001. Chapter 1. Tony's Dream. Tony felt the cold, salty water splashing his face. He knew he was floating in the sea because he felt himself moving up and down with every wave. He couldn't remember anything. What had happened? How had he got here? Through half-open eyes he could see dark figures. Several pairs of hands were reaching towards him.
"Hold him tightly, Fred," someone said. "Okay, I've got him," said Fred. "Hold his legs, Pete."
Tony was pulled out of the water and onto the deck of what appeared to be a large boat. He lay there without moving and let the dark figures continue their work. He was soaked to the skin and shivered uncontrollably.
"He's going into hypothermia," somebody said, with urgency in his voice. "Take him to the ship's hospital, quickly."
As the men took hold of Tony, he tried to sit up and speak.
"I think I remember now," he said, shivering.
"Relax," a voice said, putting a large woolen blanket round Tony's shoulders. "You'll have lots of time to remember what happened to you. We'll want a full report from you later." Tony was taken to a small room. Still very weak and tired, he was put on a small bed. As he lay there, he slowly remembered what had happened. Everything was becoming clearer. He closed his eyes and thought about how it had all started. And then he suddenly felt very, very tired, and he fell into a deep sleep. He began to dream, and in his dream he went back 10 years in time. He was a blonde 12-year-old child again, living in England with his parents. Tony's father, Paul, was a test pilot in the Royal Air Force. When he was too old to continue being a test pilot, Paul had to leave his job. He thought he was finished with flying, but then he was offered an excellent job. The job was in the aviation industry in California, on the west coast of America. It seemed to be a good job, and Paul could not refuse it. He sold the family home in England, and together with his wife Margaret and young son Tony, moved to America. After living in California for several years, Tony's parents decided to move to the East Coast, to Miami, Florida, the Sunshine State, as it is known. It was there that Tony learned to fly his first light plane. From then on, he flew as often as he could. His dream was to become an airline pilot. Tony went to a school where he was taught everything about flying jet planes. He read many books on aviation and studied hard. After some time, he was ready to take his final exams. 2 days before Tony's 22nd birthday, an important-looking letter arrived for him. Tony opened it quickly, his hands trembling.
"Please, please. Yes! Yes, I've done it!" he cried happily. "I've passed the exams! I've got my commercial pilot's license!"
Tony's dream of being a pilot was coming true.
"That's all very well, Tony," his father said, bringing him back to reality. "But now comes the hard part, finding a job."
For the next few months, Tony read every aviation magazine that he could find, but he couldn't find a job. At one point, he felt like giving up.
"It's useless," he told his mother one day at breakfast. "There's nothing in the magazines. Maybe I should just get a regular 9-to-5 office job and forget about flying."
His mother put a hand on his shoulder.
"That doesn't sound like you, Tony, giving up. I thought you lived for flying."
"I do, but..." He suddenly noticed a magazine lying on the kitchen table. An advert on an open page attracted his attention. "Young pilot needed for expanding company."
"Yes!" he gave a big smile. "Fantastic! I think this could be it! I've got a good feeling about this. I'll phone immediately."
"Yes, that's right. We are looking for a pilot,"
a man on the other end of the phone said. He had a strong accent,
South American, Tony thought, or perhaps Cuban or Mexican.
The president of the company has to be in Miami on Monday, the man continued. You could meet him then.
That's fine. Monday will be fine, Tony heard himself say.
Do you know the Blue Dolphin restaurant on Collins Avenue?
The man asked. Yes, I do, answered Tony.
Be there at noon,
said the man, and put the phone down. It was only Saturday. Tony waited impatiently for Monday to come.